The police officer was monitoring the highway, and along came a car just staggering along. Behind it, a line of traffic, people passing it, blowing their horns, obviously impatient. So he pulls out to find out what the problem is, pulls the driver over, and he sees in the car a woman and three of her friends as passengers, and they look scared to death as they're being pulled over. Well, the officer says to the woman, says, "Ma'am, we have a problem." She says, "Well, officer, I don't know what the problem could be. There's no way I was speeding." She goes, "No, ma'am, you were going too slow, and that can be just as dangerous." She goes, "That couldn't be. I was going exactly the posted speed limit, 22 miles an hour." She says, "Ma'am, that's not the speed limit. That's the highway number." And she says, "Oh, I didn't realize. Well, I'll make sure I take note of that." He's getting ready to walk away, and he sees the other three passengers there. They just look terrified. He says, "Are you sure everything's okay?" He says, "Oh, officer, they'll be fine. We've just spent an hour on Route 119. We're in the season of watching and waiting, aren't we? And this season's going to be rather a short one to get us to Christmas. But how many of us really like waiting? When you think about standing and waiting in line, or going to the doctor and waiting after you've signed in for your appointment, or driven into the drive-thru to get your coffee or your hamburger or whatever it might be, the last thing we want to see is a long line there where we have to wait our turn, right? I know it's not something that I like. And I say, "Man, it's even better if I like to do the mobile app, I'm ready." And then you pull into the line and it's like, "I'm going to be here forever." The thing that's going to avoid the wait still doesn't take into account the circumstances that are there. But here we are in a season of watching and waiting. Waiting for what? Advent literally means coming. The coming of Christ. Not just historically, because Christ came. He came in history in the fullness of time. He will come again in the future, but he also wants to come to us now, right where we are in our lives. And sometimes that's something that is difficult for us to understand or experience or even be able to convey. Now you think about it, reading the first reading from Isaiah, there was this like yearning, a painful yearning, this crying out to God. "Why do you let us wander?" The word wander usually has a connotation of almost like a meandering, a casual, perhaps even aimless movement. Sometimes people might liken it to just spinning one's wheels, moving around, but not really getting anywhere or not quite sure where the destination is. The ancient Israelites knew that quite well, didn't they? Having been freed from the hands of the Egyptians, they followed Moses out, and 40 years they were in the desert, waiting for that promised land. Now you look on a map, it's not that far from Egypt to the Holy Land, but it took them 40 years. They wandered, and oftentimes they wandered astray, creating other gods, being unfaithful, giving in to their doubts, their insecurities, sometimes even pining to go back rather than engage in that period of wandering. Well, you know, not all wandering and waiting is necessarily bad, because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes as we wander, as we wait. I'd put to you today that when you feel like you're wandering out there aimlessly and you don't know where God is, God's even closer than you might imagine. In my own life, I'd say I'd liken it to God not so much leading me as following me as I make my mistakes, as I make my little turns off here or there. I don't see him. I don't understand what's going on in the situation, but that doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. In many ways, it means God is so close that we either look right past him or just don't see him. Some of you may be familiar with a woman by the name of Vera Jones. She played basketball in college and is a Hall of Famer from Syracuse University. And then she coached college women's basketball. She has been a commentator for ESPN. Today, she's a faith-based motivational speaker. She tells a beautiful story, a heart-wrenching story, but a beautiful story nonetheless. How she had come to a point in her life where her son, her 12-year-old son, was having problems with his vision. And she came in one day, and said that his friend was passing the football to him. He couldn't see. He temporarily lost his sight and couldn't catch the ball. And of course, she was worried. Went to the doctor. The doctor said, "Well, maybe it's migraines." And she says, "Doctor, I've dealt with people who have migraines. These are not migraines. There's something more wrong with my son." And so she presses, and the tests are being ordered to have an MRI and so forth to see what exactly the problem might be. Meanwhile, she tells the story about how she was writing really for a book, and actually it was eventually published. And she said she almost had this divine inspiration of where she wrote this short story about a woman who had two friends. One's name was Doubt, the other was Worry. And as much as that woman would hang out with those two friends named Doubt and Worry, the more time she spent with them, the harder her life was. Nothing seemed to go right. She was always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Till one day she kind of cast aside Doubt and Worry for a little bit, and she made a new friend called Faith. And once she started to follow Faith, things seemed to be a little less dramatic. And she shared that story with her son, and he says, "Oh, Mom, that's an awesome story. You got to put that in your book." Well, meanwhile, he had the MRI, and she had gotten the results back, and she said, "Andrew, that'll be in a book someday, but I think that story is not for somebody else right now. It's meant for you and me." Because what the results had shown is that he had a tumor in his brain. And the doctor said, "We're going to have surgery. He's going to have surgery really quickly. His life is in danger. And I need to tell you, he may very well die in surgery. He might not come out of this alive. But if he does, he might not come out with his sight. He may lose all or some of his vision." Well, she says it was a no-brainer. The surgery was going to happen, because if it didn't, her son would die. So he has the surgery. He wakes up from the surgery, and the blessing was he lived. But he didn't have his sight. He woke up blind. And of course, for a 12-year-old to go through that kind of transition, you can imagine the despair, the despondency of not being able to live the life one had before. But this mother encouraged her son. She encouraged him. She went in and said, "You know, you've got to do this." And she says, "You know, I don't want to try. I don't want to do this." She says, "You've got to." She says, "Mom, it's easy for you to say. You're not the kid at school bumping into things. You're not the one people are making fun of. You're not the one who can't do anything without the help of somebody else." So she took her son to New York City one day. And she says, "Andrew, get out into that street." She gave him his stick to find his way. And she says, "You take that stick, you run it to the left, you run it to the right. And if anyone gets in your way, you just keep doing it. And you keep moving straight ahead." And he kept doing therapy and so forth. And he was able to get a little bit of vision. One eye totally blind, the other no peripheral vision at all. They described it as though he was able to see a little bit, as if looking through a straw. And she says to him, "Andrew, this can be a blessing if you let it. But the thing is, you have to understand there's something worse than being blind, and that is to be without vision. You have vision, you just have to keep it centered. Keep going straight and don't give up. You can't hang out with Doubt and Worry. You have to keep faith right there as your constant companion." My brothers, my sisters, as we come to the beginning of this Advent season, I believe those words should resonate with all of us. You know, we come to the end of the year. How many times have you spent an inordinate amount of time with doubt and worry as your companion, rather than hanging out with faith? You know, the more that we hang out with doubt and worry, the more we hear those little internal voices telling us, this isn't going to end right. This isn't going to turn out the way I want it to. Because we keep going into that thing of saying, I have to have control. It's got to be fixed right now the way I want it. And we forget that somehow God has a plan. We may not see Him. We may not feel Him. We might not know He's there. But He does not let us wander alone. He does not let us wander alone. So what happened to Andrew? She found a school for him. No, he couldn't play football anymore. There's no way he could. But he found a sport in which he could excel. When he entered the eighth grade, by the end of eighth grade, he became class valedictorian. He found a sport that he was in, able to do, and he excelled at it. He went on to high school, went on to college, and did so well. But he did it in a different way than he would have planned. Now, would he or his mother have said, oh, we just would have loved that this be the way it was, that they had to be blind, he had to be blinded? No, but they said, in his blindness, he and his mother both were able to grasp a new vision. And when they cast off doubt, when they cast off worry and embraced faith, it made all the difference as to how they dealt with it moving forward. You know, no matter what this past year has held, maybe there's been that time of doubt, worry, whatever. It's time to ditch those friends and embrace our best friend, faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. He is our constant companion. He's the one we pine for. He's the one we yearn for. What's the scripture tell us? We need to watch. We need to keep moving forward with our eyes open. Yeah, we can wander. And maybe you've been wandering a lot in your spiritual life. Maybe you just happened to wander into church tonight. It's not an accident, because God followed you right here, or led you right here, or somehow got you right here. And just as sure as He got you here, He's going to take you out with a mission this week to encounter Him in some way, in some circumstance, in some person. But we can't just look at the crosses that we have, the things that aren't going right, as though that's the end of the world for us. They found out that was just the beginning of theirs. And if we can embrace that and know that we don't always have the answers. I know in my own experience, hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? When you look back and you say, I really wouldn't want to go through that again, but now I see why. Now I see the good that can come out of it. And so every time that we have one of those experiences that might be sour, that might be painful, that might just be inconvenient, those are ways that God's just trying to break in, just as surely as God broke into human history around 2,000 years ago. He broke in when humanity was ready for it. Yeah, we wandered, we strayed, we doubted, we worried as a people. And what did God do? God sent us His Son. He gave us a Savior. When we let go of doubt and we let go of worry, and we embrace faith as our best friend, that's how we can embrace the Savior and experience His love. My challenge to you is, during this Advent season, is to look for God in whatever places that you might find yourself, in whatever experiences, and look for ways that not only can you experience God, but others can experience God through you. You know, this is a time of giving and service and so forth. We have two big things happening right here within our community. Our giving tree that takes care of about 90 families, 200 children, getting them ready for Christmas to make sure they have a nice Christmas, as well as our winter relief, where we'll be hosting about 40 homeless individuals the day after Christmas to the day after New Year's. Think about that. Or look for something else, whatever it is. But just know that that is where God wants to meet you. And if you're feeling that you're out there all alone right now, that might be exactly the thing you need to do to connect. You just have to try. Figure it out. Sometimes it's imposed, sometimes it's chosen. But God never leaves us alone. And that's important to remember, that that's what this season is about. When God looked at humanity, He never once left us alone. We may not have seen Him, we may not have experienced Him, but He never leaves us alone. So that's some things to think about these few weeks. How to be ready to receive Him, to not let our wandering to be in vain, but to truly let this wandering be wonderful. Amen?
Amen.